Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin, the schedule is out. We broke it down a little bit last night with J-Mac. Gotta break it down now with Courtney. This is going to be the big news of pretty much the rest of this week because everybody's going to be getting their predictions in. Everybody's going to be seeing how it fares. And I'm going to be honest with you, Courtney. I think a lot of Chicago fans were a little bit surprised with how many division games we finished the season off with. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Yesterday was schedule release. I was having a conversation with my editor about this. Like, what other sport has a whole day in the lead up time dedicated to finding out the schedule? Like, you know, you and I talked about this with the NBA. Like, imagine like people being this excited for the Bulls schedule to drop or, you know, 162 game Major League Baseball schedule to drop to figure out where, you know, the series are that you want to go see. I don't know. It's wild. But like, if you think about, and I know we'll get to the Bears schedule, but if you think about how many different platforms you need to have, if you want to watch NFL games other than just like linear cable, it's Amazon Prime, Netflix now, whatever the HBO thing is.
HBO like Max.
Yeah, like it's kind of wild how much the NFL has dispersed into other platforms to where if you don't have, if you think about some of the older NFL fans, like what are they going to do? Do they all have streaming platforms and everything else? It's kind of wild to think about how much the league has, you know, capitalized on the moment where a lot of people are cutting the cord, but still like a majority of their fans are that age will not be joining them on these other platforms. So I guess if you want to watch London, watch that game, you better, what is that? Is that one on ESPN Plus?
I believe that's on ESPN Plus.
There's NFL Network.
The tough part is like, there's so many now that you almost have to, we've like cut the cord backwards. We've kind of like, all the cord cutters have kind of like screwed ourselves in a corner because now they're like, oh, well, we're going to give you this on a service. But the one thing I love about sports is the ability to just flip back and forth between channels. Now I get it, right? Like on that game, it's like, oh, it's the Christmas Day game. You're not flipping channels, right? This is the only game that's happening. Or it's Thanksgiving Day. This is the only game happening. You're not flipping channels. But it's the next big invention, I'm gonna tell you this right now, is the person that figures out how to get all your streaming services wrapped into one. And you can just flip through them like a regular remote, which is just going to become cable again. We're back to cable, but with 17 different services providing it. But I agree with you. It is the NFL this season. Just the last couple of seasons, you're bringing a lot of different people in to cover NFL games in different ways. And everybody's not good at it. That's kind of my problem with it.
It's, you know, and I'm curious to see how Netflix, like who are the broadcasters going to be for Netflix? Because Christmas falls on a Wednesday, I believe, this year. Because, the next day then is the Bears playing the Seahawks at home on Thursday Night Football. So last year it made sense, you know, Monday Night Football, you had three games, each effectively with their own, each of their own primetime window, more or less. They had their own window. But it's, you know, Amazon has definitely caught the short end of the stick for some of the games that they've had to broadcast the first two, three years of their existence. And then, you know, with Netflix, like, who's going to be part of that crew? I mean, I don't think the NFL is done at this point. Like, they're trying to capitalize every single day during the week, during the season. They don't have Saturday. They probably won't have Saturday as a consistent thing because of college football and outside of those couple games we see in December that go on that Saturday window. And then, you know, Tuesday, like, that'll be the only other day that, like, is left for conquering. I don't think the NFL would ever allow that based on how the schedules work with Sunday being the marquee day of the schedule and having to turn around to play a game less than 48 hours later.
Yeah.
But don't put anything past them because they have shown they do not care about the short turnaround for NFL teams to get ready as long as it gives them a window that they can capitalize on and that they can just, you know, continue to see a ratings increase with.
Oh, yeah. We're just waiting until it gets like baseball, Courtney. You know, remember during COVID, you were getting those Tuesday Steelers games at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're like, what's it? I'm at work right now. Why is there a football game happening? What's this going on? The NFL's getting, I'm not a fan of it, but here's the problem. I'm going to watch.
Of course.
Like that's the
We're going to sign up. Peacock. I mean, hell, the, the game on the, what was it, the Chiefs Dolphins game last year. I'm like stealing my mom's Xfinity login so I can watch it on Peacock. Yeah, I mean, they're going to get us all. You're going to just be looking at your bank account and seeing like $9.99 a month. And you're just going to be racking up bills trying to watch all of these games. You have to watch them on like 12 different platforms right now.
Absolutely. It's getting wild out here. But at least, here's the thing, at least the expectation around the Chicago Bears team is there will be better football to watch as they show up on some of these platforms this year. And that's what's exciting about this schedule release to me. I mean, like, that's always the, now is the dream era. Now is the hope era. I'm seeing 16-2. I'm seeing 17-0, Courtney, or 16-1, yeah. 17-0s out there. I'm seeing 15-3. People are believing that this schedule is in the Bears' favor. I have the Bears 10-7 right now. I have them going 4-2, I believe, in the division. Sweeping the Lions, splitting with the Packers, splitting with the Vikings. How does this schedule play out for you? Because this is a interesting start to the season, and then post bye week, you've got a real gauntlet on your hands.
Yeah, I will say that I think the NFL, you know, we know there's a formula that goes into how they make the schedule every year. It's supposed to be this big kept secret. Well, apparently it's very hard to keep the schedule secret considering all the leaks that were out there. Yeah. And I saw this the other day and I couldn't agree with it more. The NFL's schedule release and the leaks are basically the equivalent of legal tampering during the free agency window, because they purposely put out like the trickle of information starting from Monday or Tuesday into their big release on Thursday. But yeah, you know, hearing what the Bears, like, you started to see the pieces. Okay, London game, you know, Jacksonville is, I think they're over under right now is 8.5. They're probably closer to like the top of the NFL as far as like teams that, you know, are expected to win a lot of games next year. Right. That was the first game we find out. And then you start to, you know, get bits and pieces with Detroit coming in on Thanksgiving Day. And then you hear about the opener. And I had thought, and I thought it was going to be a division opener, because if history tells us anything about this team, it's usually Green Bay or Detroit in week one. At least it has been for, you know, the better part of the last decade since 2015. I believe it's Green Bay four times in week one. And then that Detroit game, I believe 2020, was also a week one game. So I think you and I had talked about what, you know, my prediction was Sunday Night Football, Detroit in Detroit, you know, division rivals, you know, national window. But for them to open up with Tennessee, a team that's definitely in a rebuild, but I don't think it's going to, it's certainly not going to be a cakewalk. I think it's a perfect opportunity for Bears fans to get like a real feel for what this team is like, because unlike last year, and I know we didn't have we didn't know what Jordan Love was going to be early on. And there was this, maybe a little bit of sense of hubris among, you know, certainly among the Bears fan base of, okay, Rodgers is gone, new day, we're, you know, take the North, time to do it.
And felt then, a lot and, like the old day.
and then reality sunk in really quickly last year. This one to me feels like a really nice easing in process for Caleb Williams. Now, I'm not saying the game is easy by any stretch, but take a look at what their first 7 weeks are before the bye. So Tennessee, at Houston, at Indianapolis, against the Rams at home, Carolina at home, and then Jacksonville, which is a home game that they're playing in London. That's not, you know, that's not NFC North champion Detroit in there. There's no Green Bay Packers, knowing that, you know, just like their history against that team. They haven't beaten them since 2018. They're a tough opponent. Right. I just feel like they did the Bears, and I'm not saying that they tried to do this, but I do think that they did the Bears some favors here with the way that the schedule opens up. And, you know, maybe they make up for it by the way that they threw all of those division games in beyond week 11, with six of their last eight opponents being Minnesota, Detroit, and Green Bay two times each. But I think this is going to be a good way for Caleb Williams to, you know, get his feet wet in the NFL. Again, not saying these games are going to be easy, but I think you'd rather have a Tennessee team at home versus going, you know, what we had thought, going to Detroit in week one, playing the team that just won the division last year.
When you look at this week two matchup, that's one that I really key in on. How important do you think that is on Ryan Poles' calendar right now? How, do you think that this is the guy you let go? This is the guy you let go pass. This is, I guess, in theory, right? This is the one that got away, if you want to say it that way. But realistically speaking, you kind of were in a situation where you're like, it's okay. We're not looking for quarterbacks right now. We know what's coming next year. We're hoping to be in the market for one next year if Justin Fields doesn't work out. But he looked really, really good in that first year. How big of a game is this week two on Ryan Poles' calendar right now?
CJ Stroud is always going to serve, I think, in a way, as the measuring stick for this franchise, just because simply, like, yeah, it was a conscious choice they made to trade that pick away and to not go after him. I don't know if anybody, Bears included, thought he would have turned out to be what he was his rookie season, but this Houston team is a lot better, which is kind of crazy to think about. Like, I mean, the team was 10-7 last year. They won a playoff game at home. They get to the divisional playoffs and lose to the Ravens, but they're a really good team. Imagine how much better they're going to be this year. They fortified their receiving core even more by bringing in Stephon Diggs. They've made additions to their defense. They brought Danielle Hunter in. That's not going to be an easy test by any stretch, but it's a good, and it's not going to be like, the jury's not going to be out on Caleb Williams if the Bears lose this game, but a chance to measure yourself against another young quarterback early on, 2 weeks into the season in a primetime game. It's almost like you use week one to get the jitters out of the way, to get all of the first time butterflies out of the way. And then right into it, week two, you're on the road playing, you know, a team that won its division last year and a team that's primed to do it again this year. So I look at that first 10-week stretch, rather, where you've got the league's youngest quarterbacks. And that's a good, it's not just Houston. It's Will Levis, who's a second-year quarterback. Yep. You've got Anthony Richardson, who will be back for the Colts this year. Bryce Young in week five. Then, you go to Washington, Jaden Daniels, and then maybe, very likely, who knows, week 10.
Probably Drake May.
Yeah. That's a really good way to gauge the growth of your young quarterback. And for a team that's trying to prove it can shatter the notion that the Bears can't develop a young quarterback talent, this is a good chance to be like, all right, yes, we can. And here's how he stacks up against other young up-and-comers who are one day hoping to be the face of the league, the way that Caleb Williams has set goals for himself to be in that category. So again, I don't think it could have worked out any better for Caleb Williams to not have to go against Patrick Mahomes. Not that the Chiefs were on the schedule this year, but they don't have to go against like the Hall of Famers right away in his career, where he has more of an even playing field against a lot of these quarterbacks that in this, you know, quote unquote head-to-head matchup that he's going up against in a lot of those games in the first 10 weeks of the season. It's a good chance to see, okay, how far are we? How far is this quarterback? What more do they need to do to help him? Like if it's going great, you know, what are the reasons it's going great? If it's not going so great, you can then measure yourself up as a team against the teams that you've played and that are teams that are on more of an even play, you know, even par with you than maybe some of the other ones that are like light years ahead.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting is that you get an opportunity to get your feet wet before you get into what essentially the NFL is trying to recreate here in this black and blue division from week 11 to week 18. Yeah. By week 10, Caleb's going to have more of an understanding. Caleb and Rome, right? You got to include him in that as well, are going to have more of an understanding of, okay, this is NFL speed. This is how we need to play. There's going to be more of a chemistry built up. And your hope is that by that week 10, you're sitting maybe 6-4, kind of 6-4 range. And you're sitting there saying, okay, now we have to go into these games where just about every single game is going to be massively important. But I know how my teammates work. I know how my receivers like the ball. I know where, you know, how to run this offense. I've got a grasp on this. You kind of said it, right? Like, it's almost like the NFL was like, we don't want you to suck, dude. Like, I know they didn't, but we need to give the Bears a shot here. We cannot start them off with the black and blue division right away. Let them figure things out. Not to say that these are easy games. I think the Jaguars in London is going to be tough. They got home field advantage pretty much. I think that, you know, the Texans for sure, but I don't think the Rams have fallen off as much as everybody thinks that they has, you know, like.
playoff team last year. Like, it's, I, again, the, like, the way that they do these schedule releases and the way that they build the schedule, I don't know if it's really like meant to serve any team, you know, favor any team over another, but I was trying to find it. Like, I wonder, based on, like, who got the most primetime games this year? Do we know? Like, it's probably, I mean, the Chiefs have, I know obviously they've got several. It doesn't feel like we have anything like the Jets, though, last year. Remember how many primetime games they got put into early on? And, of course, they had to, like, you know, they had the Friday, they had the Monday night game. They've had Sunday night football, I believe, twice. They had the Thursday night, the Thursday Black Friday game. Like, and they were putting bad football in primetime windows. And I know primetime has the connotation of being nighttime, like Monday night football, Sunday night football, and Thursday night football. I consider primetime to be, when do I have the window where nobody else has it? So they're going to have that when they play Detroit. They're going to have that when they play the Jaguars in London. I don't feel like the NFL set anybody up for failure, though, this year, where it's because there comes a lot of expectation with putting teams on in those primetime windows. A lot of those nighttime games comes a lot of expectations with that. Now, I'm not saying they did them any favors.
Not to cut you off, 49ers, Cowboys, and Jets, to answer your question. Those are the three teams. Each looks like these are the teams, NFL primetime games more than any other team, six times for each squad.
Okay. Like, and they're probably doing that because, I mean, certainly the Cowboys have a national audience. They know that they're, you can't fool anybody about that. Oh, it's just how it worked out. No. Yeah. Rodgers coming back, he's 40 years old. If it doesn't happen now, it's never going to happen. And then the 49ers just won the NFC again. So it doesn't feel like they're setting any team up for failure. Like a young team like the Bears, before you get to a place, and it's crazy because I know people look at it before, like they had more primetime games when they were a terrible team the last couple of years. I don't think anybody should be complaining about the fact that they don't, they have, you know, one of each and they're not, you know, a team that has five or six primetime games. They're not ready for that yet. And why put a product out there that you really are kind of rolling the dice with? Like, we think they're going to be good. Most of us have them making the playoffs as a 10-win team, but what if things don't go right? Then you obviously have like the right to flex those games out of primetime, but you don't want to be in that situation if you're the NFL having to move things around because a team failed to meet expectations. So I think it's a fair number of primetime games for them, for a team that's dominated the NFL's offseason and there's a lot of intrigue. You know, Caleb Williams, with him comes a draw, and that's very evident in the way that the schedule is built, but it doesn't feel like it's overkill of something that's not a proven product just yet, which, If you look at it from, like, you know, an unbiased perspective, you're like, okay, that's a fair number of games that they have in prime time, knowing that they do have other windows that the spotlight's going to be on them.
I wonder what the NFL is calling primetime, because I'm looking at this list of teams that have primetime games. There's three that have six: San Francisco, Dallas, New York, the Jets. And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams that have five, all premier teams in the league. But yeah, Kansas City, Buffalo, Packers, Lions, Bengals. But it's like, there's a lot of, like, is anytime you're on a different channel primetime now? Are they counting anytime? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is it like, if you're on Hulu, primetime? I don't know if that's
kind of, in a way, because that's like my theory of, if you have your own window where no other teams are. Yeah. And yeah, I know 8:30 Central Time on a Sunday morning in October is not technically primetime, but if you're a Bears fan and you're not going to London, you're going to be up watching that game. That is technically, in my opinion, a primetime window, because the only eyeballs are on the Jaguars and the Bears at that time. So I just don't feel like the NFL's learned its lesson. Like last year, the Giants were in primetime four different times. That team was terrible.
Yeah.
The NFL learns its lesson by not having to force teams into a situation where, you know, the team might not be very good, the football might not be very good. That's going to affect your viewership window. And the NFL's cognizant of that. They're not trying to make mistakes by setting teams up for failure and then thus setting themselves up for failure with that.
When you get to the point where you're on Twitter and the fan base of the team is going, please, God, stop.
Take us out of prime time. Put us in the 1 p.m. window.
That's when you know it's jumped the shark. Are there any teams on there? Not really, I guess. Like the all of the teams on there, I think in prime time are going to be pretty good. I'm not, maybe the Rams will be questionable, but I still think the Rams are going to be a pretty good team. The teams that have the really least team. I thought everybody had to get a primetime game. Carolina does not have one.
No, I don't think there's any rule for it, like where you have to have, you know, no, because I remember Detroit a couple of years ago was a team that had no primetime games. They had their one window, which was Thanksgiving Day, which is theirs. They've had that forever. It's the 12:30 Eastern time slot. I believe it was 2022, the year that they just missed the playoffs, where they had no primetime games until they got flexed into Sunday Night Football in Green Bay that year. And look, like, they quietly became one of the best teams in the NFC, and now they've got several primetime windows, which I'm actually, you know, for any game to open up Sunday Night Football in the NFL, I think if it wasn't going to be Bears Lions, having it be Rams Lions in Detroit is a pretty good one. Knowing the Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford storyline, which, you know, now kind of comes back into the forefront because Goff just got paid. You're going to probably have Amon-Ra St. Brown getting paid at some point soon. Like, this is teams a lot of star power on both sides. And, you know, the Rams, how do they look without Aaron Donald and the first couple, you know, the first game without him? Like, that's, there's a lot of intrigue on that will provide good theater to kick off the season that weekend.
Yeah, there's a very large hole in the middle of the Rams that will not be there. That is, I mean, listen, I think he's probably the best interior defensive lineman we've ever seen in the game, especially with the size and the stature that he had. It's going to be a very big, I feel bad for the guy that's like, all right, you got to replace him. What? Like, I got to replace Aaron Donald? When you look at this schedule, we've kind of done it from week 1 to week 10. Week 11 to week 18 is really this gauntlet. Packers, Vikings, Lions, Niners, Vikings, Lions, Seahawks, Packers. I mean, if you lose two of these, the playoff hopes are probably done, right? Like, this is a tough matchup NFC wise, all NFC teams, and of course NFC North wise. Yeah, this is where you play everybody in the division twice. How do you look at this?
Six division opponents in an 8-week stretch to end the season, with once again going to Green Bay in week 18, the place where they couldn't play spoiler last year and they got embarrassed, and the Packers then made it to the playoffs and made it to the divisional round. They don't want that to happen again. This is a good, you know, you think about like revenge games. I know we had to write a category on revenge games, which typically, you know, I don't know. Can you call DeAndre Swift playing Detroit a revenge game, considering he's now two teams removed from playing them? Can you call Tennessee a revenge game for Kevin Byard? I know he's excited about it because I saw his tweet where he did the eyeball emojis on week one. I don't know. But, like, you know, revenge game wise, Shane Waldron going to play Seattle, that's a fair one. But then, you know, the other games that you have there in the schedule, like, I think Green Bay in week 18 is a very fair revenge game considering what happened last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, three straight road games to start the month of December. Come on. Like, what a tough draw for the Bears after they, you know, had a pretty decent going up until week 11. Then, you know, you start with Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, and, you know, to go from like a division game to another division game on a short week, being Thanksgiving in week 13, that's tough. And then San Francisco, like, it's Detroit, San Francisco, you know, more than a week later. So they'll have, you know, from that Thursday of Thanksgiving all the way till the next Sunday off. But then that San Francisco game that's the Fox window. That's a 4:25 Eastern time window. They go from that into the Monday night game at Minnesota. Now, that's not a short week because you have the extra day, but that's a lot of travel where you're going from like Detroit all the way to San Francisco, then back, and then up to Minnesota. Like, the travel, the amount of miles that they're going to log and like what their bodies are going to be feeling like at that point of the season.
Yeah.
You know, the bye week's week 7. You know, it's not this normal like week 13, week 14 bye that we've grown used to the last couple of years. They get it far earlier, which is smart with the NFL doing that with teams that are in London and then, you know, giving them time to adjust when they come back. But they better hope that they're healthy at that point, because this is going to be, you know, the time for the division race. And like most of us who have them around 10-7 this year, when you're just looking at the way that the schedule shakes out initially, you don't really have much room for error if you're expecting, in the very least, Detroit to run the table again, Green Bay to still be a very, very good team vying for the playoffs. And then if you're the Bears trying to shake things up and make some noise, that's three teams right there that you face. None of the other teams in the division have the schedule stacked up this way that the Bears do, but it's going to be like, it's going to be very difficult to have any error at that point, knowing how close things could potentially be with, you know, some very competitive teams in the NFC North and how often the Bears are having to turn around and go from one division opponent to the next.
Now, the one thing that I will say is very interesting is when I looked at the other team's schedules, when you kind of look around at, well, okay, what, how do the Lions match up? How does the Packers schedules match up? How does the Vikings schedule match up? It kind of feels like they're getting like some of those more heavy hitters a little bit early on as well, then maybe a little bit more than the Bears are getting. So that could play into it as well. But I think you're right. The week seven bye is going to be, I mean, when's the last time we had a bye that early? It's been a while. I want to say maybe 2020.
I was going to say, I think it might've been the COVID years before I started covering the team. Cause the last 2 years it's been these late season, like early December byes, which are good when you went, but those are beneficial to teams that are trying to make a playoff push where you can give guys a week off at a time where everybody's body is not at 100% to then be fresh for the final 4-5 weeks of the season. This year, they better hope that health is on their side because that can determine, all right, if you're, you know, hovering around 500 or a game or two above, a game or two above 500 at the, you know, three quarters point of the season, you really need things to break your way in order to feel good about your chances of getting into the postseason, knowing, again, just like that this is the new AFC North in terms of intrigue with quarterbacks and how competitive you expect these teams to be, where everybody has a legitimate shot, at least right now. Probably Minnesota more on the outside looking in, but everybody here has a good shot to make, you know, make a case to be a playoff team.
No, for sure. And that's why this final push, I mean, like it's going to be so important for the Bears. And I like that it comes at the end because I do feel like it gives you that ultimate test. It gives you that, you know, like, okay, you went through your 10 weeks, you got yourself used to the NFL. Now you get to see kind of what it's going to be like facing the Packers, facing the Lions, facing the Vikings. And in the division yesterday, I said this, The Lions are a team where I don't know why. I can't explain it. I know the Lions are a good football team, but for some reason, the Chicago Bears do a really good job against Jared Goff. And I think that Matt Eberflus remembers the sting of blowing that massive lead in Detroit last year. I think we handle business versus Detroit this season. I think the Bears can actually sweep the Lions because they've got an answer there that I don't understand why. The scary part about that is I feel the same way about the Packers with the Bears.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's, I think it's hard to predict. Like when I was doing my bold prediction, I wrote it and I know it's kind of tongue in cheek. It shouldn't be bold for you to pick that the Bears are going to beat the Green Bay Packers, but considering it hasn't happened since the first time they played them in I believe it was week one of 2018.
Yeah.
It's pretty bold, but I have a hard time looking at the schedule, thinking, okay, there's two wins coming against a division opponent, knowing how frequently they play their entire division schedule, weeks 11 through 18. Maybe I would have felt differently about that if it was like Green Bay or Detroit week one, or, you know, somewhere in weeks one through 10. Out. But I think they're going to split. And that's, I know that's not bold, it's not sexy by any stretch, but going 3-3 against your division when you've gone 2-4, like every year since, you know, for a while, I believe, you know, the best finish that they've had was 2019 before that. That's not, that's not a great place. You know, that's not like that dramatic to think of a jump for them to make. If you can beat Green Bay once, my God, that's improvement. If you can beat Minnesota again, if you can beat Detroit again, that's where you were last year, and that's taking a step beyond. Like, and I always look this up. I always tend to forget. Like, they swept Minnesota during the 2021 season or 2020 season, one of those two. So it's not like they've never swept a division opponent in the last decade, but I just think it's going to be a little bit more difficult to project something like that out when they play those teams so frequently, and just knowing that there's a lot more that comes with a division game. And especially when they're all stacked up like that, it's too difficult to we don't know what those teams are going to look like at that point. Yeah. Of course, right now we're projecting, like, are they going to finish 10-7 like I have them? I don't know. Injuries factor in. On paper right now, when you're looking at, like, opponent strength of schedule, they have the third easiest schedule in the NFL based on their opponent's wins from last year. But that doesn't mean that their opponents haven't added to their teams or their opponents right. haven't gotten better. There are a couple teams on here you can look at and say, yeah, that team is still a couple years away. Carolina, absolutely. Washington, absolutely. New England, absolutely. Can we for sure say that about Tennessee? I don't know. I mean, yeah. Will Levis is another year in the NFL. He's learning a new offense. Maybe that's a team, but I don't look at them and say, oh yeah, that's going to be an easy win. But there are a couple others where that serve as a you should win this game sort of thing. Yeah. And so, like, I have them going 10-7 because I predicted, you know, them taking advantage of that schedule and taking advantage of their opponent's, you know, strength of schedule from last year. And so, like, wins at Indianapolis, at Washington, at Detroit, and Minnesota should not be, you know, completely out of the realm of possibility. But again, winning on the road in the NFL, as we know, is very, very difficult. And you have to do it for them 9 times this season, you know, to go to 9 different road games. And I mean, I guess if you include the, you know, London's a home game for them, but it's
kind of,
you know, kind of, yeah. Or I think I might have that flipped. Yeah, how many, wait, they've got road games.
London is at technically Houston,
at Indianapolis, Washington, Arizona, Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay. So they've, that's, and then, London is a road game for them, or it's a home game for them, but it's on the road, but they've got, you know, the rest of those are road games.
It's a home game in spirit. Like, I feel like the NFL makes that a home game for the other team to make them feel better about going over there. And it's like, well, it's not really a home game because everybody over there is a Jaguars fan because they've been doing this for however long, right? Like, the Jaguars have ingratiated themselves over there. So it's really a road game for everybody that goes over there. But I'm excited about this schedule. I'm not going to lie, because I think that this is the perfect way to test out a rookie quarterback that has a lot of expectation. You get to see him measure up versus the other QBs, like you said. And I think the big thing is, right, like, Caleb Williams, he gets to figure out the NFL game. We already know what his mindset is. I want to see him kind of with an understanding of, okay, this is the speed of the game. This is how I need to play. This is the things I need to do. With the mindset that he already has of, listen, I know who the rivals are. I know who the teams that I have to go out there and beat are. Now we got that stretch coming up. Let's go out there and handle business. We saw the Bears get a Detroit win. What was last year? Last year was week 11 and week 14, I think, for Detroit, or week, because it
week,
was a
week 10 or no, it was week 11, week 10 or week 11. Yeah. Week 14 was at home. And then week 9 wasn't it week 10? Because Justin came back from his thumb injury.
The week
before was the Saints game.
So where, we've seen the Bears kind of, you know, compete in those. Now, if you close the window in the last 2 minutes, right. But compete in those games versus Detroit. And I think that this is a great way to get your first taste of Caleb Williams' career this season. I think that this showcases everything that you want to see.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a bloodbath to go into the season. For him, he should be very happy right now with the way that the schedule looks, where he'll get to, like, I just feel like every time I say ease into it, like, these are NFL games. Every freaking game is hard.
It's a tough game.
But it's not, it doesn't carry the same stature of, oh, I'm going against somebody who won a Super Bowl right away from the very jump last year, from the very jump, you know, this year. And he should be, you know, he should know that weeks 1-10 are going to give him a chance to personally stack himself up against other competition that is right around his age and right around his experience level in the NFL. So, you know, we talked about the CJ Stroud game in week 2 being, you know, something that the Bears are circling, and they will always have to look at CJ Stroud as, okay, we chose to pass on this quarterback. What does everything else look like? You know, compared to, like, what does our situation look like compared to that guy? Well, they're also going to play Bryce Young, who they also passed on.
Yeah.
And I mean, this Carolina team doesn't project to be much better than they were last year, but it's a good chance to be like, we made the right decision. Just keep affirming the decisions that you've made around this roster and around the, you know, quarterback talent that you decided to go with.
And the part I love is, right, Caleb Williams doesn't have to play against CJ Stroud. He's going up against those defenses. Not that Texas defense, that's a tough one. But when you look at that first 10 games, it's kind of the one defense that really stands out to you. Like, I mean,
Indianapolis, I think, you know, just with like with Flus knowing their personnel so well, like I predicted a win in Indy again for the Bears in Indianapolis. So I think I'll probably, based on it, probably have them starting out 2-1, which, oh my God, if you, you know, they were 2-1 when they were, you know, going into that Houston game, or no, rather going into week 4 2 years ago after they beat Houston at home and they had beaten the 49ers in week 1, but they'd be riding pretty darn high if they're going into that game against the Rams in week 4 at home, knowing that they're 2-1 and they just got one of those wins on the road.
Because that's, road that's, wins, that's a different 2-1.
Yeah.
That's not that 2020 where we magically beat the Niners and I think Houston was god awful. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we're 2-1, take what you can get. And then like everything hit the fan. We got one win over the next 14 games. Courtney, appreciate you coming through. Appreciate you watching. Any nuggets that you got leading into the rest of this week? Anything else that's intriguing for you off of the schedule or anything going on with the Bears right now?
I enjoyed their schedule release video. I will say that. I thought they didn't overdo it. I know that social teams are around the NFL, like this is their Super Bowl. This is what they do. This is how they justify the amount of resources that they end up pouring into it. I know some people are like, oh, well, the Bear one was better. Well, of course, but you can't do that every single year. I thought DJ Moore is a very good, I'm not going to say give him an Oscar for his performance, but I thought he sold it really well.
I thought he did.
What are you expecting from DJ Moore? Like for him to like jump out of his skin and I just be want an spice Oscar? No, but like that's Spice. That is who he is.
Yeah,
he is entertainer. Yeah. I thought for any guy on the team that you'd want in that role, and of course you're not going to put Caleb Williams in that role right away. I thought him getting off the bus with Roma Dunze, like as the kind of the freshman thing, and that was a play on Mean Girls. I don't know if everybody got that. So remember at the end of Mean Girls when all of the Mean Girls end up kind of becoming friends, and it's like after like their huge blow up, they're all out in the park, and Lindsay Lohan's like, you know, the new queen bee or whatever, but she's not as much of a jerk as she was. Then there's that scene about the, you know, the new freshman coming in and they almost get hit by the bus.
Yeah.
Like I thought the Bears played that. I got a good laugh out of that. And I thought they sold that really well. Like you knew exactly what the scenes were, whether it was from Breakfast Club, whether it was in, you know, paying homage to Mean Girls, to Ferris Bueller's Day Off. There were a couple Home Alone references in that. Yeah. I thought for the Chicago references, because remember, Mean Girls took place allegedly in Evanston. I always forget that. But I thought that they did a really good job playing on the Chicago-themed movies that have that high school feel to them.
Yeah. And,
you know, I actually thought Flus had a, you know, when he's like, DJ, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why don't you feel like I was like, okay, is this how Flus is in meetings? Like, is he showing this much empathy to his players when they might be having a bad day? I thought Flus was very endearing in that moment. And DJ, you know, again, I'm not telling the guy that he's going to go like sign up for like the Screen Actors Guild and get, you know, start getting royalties for stuff. But I thought he did a good job. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that because I enjoyed all the references that they made to movies that I grew up watching.
You know what it is too? I love the Bears social team. It's one of the best social teams in the NFL. I'll say the Chargers maybe is the only one that is better than the Bears. And it is very, very close. Because when you see, I don't know if you saw some of the other ones out there, how they were releasing the schedule. I saw people releasing the schedule as like memes on Twitter. I saw people releasing the schedule. I'm like, you're not trying at all? Do you guys not get to see the team? Like what's going on here?
The Titans didn't get off a winning horse. They did the exact same thing that they did last year when they went out to Broadway and they got people to, you know, effectively like name who the teams the Titans were playing based on the mascot or based on like the logo. And I thought it was cute. I don't know how many more years you can do the same bit, but they did a good job with theirs. I thought the Colts had a good one as well. And
that's what I love about it. The Bears are fresh every year. Yes, the Bear one was better. The Bear one was amazing, but you can't do it every year.
Yeah. No, I really did like theirs. And I thought they did. There were a lot of different elements that were mixed into it. And it's cool to like point out the cameos of people. But, oh, that's who that is. That's Young Gravy Whoever Young Gravy is.
By the way, so many tweets yesterday. So many tweets in my mentions about how I look like TJ Edwards. Oh my God.
You got that? Really?
I got so many tweets about how I look like TJ. Because he had the jacket on. I'm like, I don't really, I don't know. Like, he's got the beard. And I was like, I don't really see TJ Edwards, but I'm also blind now that I took my glasses.
Yeah, about to say, like, you took one for the team there.
Yeah, but I don't know. I so many tweets. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I guess I kind of see it. We're both lighter skinned and have beards and wear Bears hats. Like, I'm not everybody light skinned, guys. I'm not. I swear I'm not. Just most of the people. Appreciate you tuning in as always, Courtney. Appreciate you rocking with us. Appreciate you guys watching as always. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. Drop your schedule predictions in the comments below and let me know. Do I look like TJ Edwards for real? Do I got a little TJ Edwards in me? Maybe I got to put the Bears jacket on too. We'll holler at y'all later, man. Y'all stay safe, Chicago.